Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Got a lot of questions we want answered, and Brady Quinn, who obviously knows the position as well as anybody, former first-round pick, Golden Domer, and great analyst, CBS Sports HQ, has been cutting up the film, and he's got some good answers for us. Brady, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome back, man. How you been?
I've been well, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Really pumped up. We're going to kind of fire through a bunch of names, and you tell us, and obviously our audience, what you're seeing, if the criticism is justified, if it's a little bit early. What are you seeing when you watch Drew Brees play?
Well, look, I think I'm not going to pile on. Everyone else was saying, oh, his play is deteriorating. But I think if you go back to the second half of last season, even the playoffs, the one game versus the Minnesota Vikings, you could tell that he didn't seem to look quite as confident in the pocket. The zip on the ball wasn't quite there. And clearly, he's getting to the latter stages of his playing career. And we tend to forget, too, like he did have a completely reconstructive shoulder. There's a reason why the Dolphins didn't take him. So I think some of the concerns about, you know, his arm strength and some of that, it might be there. But to me, the bigger loss was not having Michael Thomas. You know, I'd like to see, you know, what he looks like either for a couple games without him to get a better idea.
Yep.
Or to see what happens when Michael Thomas comes back. But look, there's no doubt. I mean, he's at the end of his career. Father Time gets the best of all of us. He's had a Hall of Fame career. You can't take that away from him.
No, and no one's trying to. He's an all-time great. There's no doubt. I think that's a sensible read on Brees. What do you make of the early relationship, Brady, Arians, new team, new system, new verbiage? What are you seeing from Brady?
Well, look, I think he's starting to find more comfort and chemistry with Mike Evans and with the rest of the pass catchers there in Tampa. I mean, clearly week one, they didn't seem to be on the same page. And whether or not, you know, Mike Evans' injury played a factor in some of that, it definitely did on the one interception over the middle. But since then, it seems like they're getting more on the same page. He's getting more comfortable with everything around them. You know, my concern isn't so much with Brady and the system and Bruce Arians. Like, their relationship's fine. Like, trust me, Bill Belichick has probably coached them either the same or very similar to what Bruce Arians is doing. And Bruce Arians probably actually gives them some compliments or attaboys every once in a while. But my concern is their offensive line. I mean, you got a rookie right tackle. I think Wirfs has done okay. Donovan Smith was awful week one. He was a little bit better last week. But that's the really area you got to be concerned with, because he's always had the ability to step up in the pocket. He'd set the pocket deep, step up into it, be able to get the football off in time. If he can't do that, if he doesn't have two tackles who are able to run those D ends around the loop, around the horn, then he's going to have a hard time all you know, this entire season. So that's more the concern with me. It's not Tom Brady. He's got plenty of arm strength left. I think the older player on that team that looks like he's going to struggle this year is Rob Gronkowski. The year off that he took, he just lacks explosion. He lacks the ability to really separate. I think he's almost kind of fallen behind those other tight ends where he's kind of an afterthought now.
Might have to get him in a steel cage pretty soon. Go get that belt back. That might be
24-7.
We're talking to Brady Quinn, former first-round pick and CBS Sports HQ analyst, talking shop here on Tiki and Tierney.
BT and I, Brady, hit the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz. And look, I know a lot of this is the offensive line. Jason Peters is, I mean, he's 7 years old, younger than me. So, I mean, he's been around, he's been in the game for a long time. They got a couple young guys are starting, young wide receivers, but is there something wrong with Carson Wentz that we can't identify, or are we just making too much of an early part of the season?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I see him forcing the ball a lot more, and I think in the past, you know, even last year, for example, you know, really when he didn't have many guys to throw to, Greg Ward really stepped up for him. You know, he was a much better decision maker down the stretch. And the odd thing was, is like, he kind of didn't really necessarily have to be, because he didn't have a ton of help.
Yeah.
So now he's got most of his guys back, and he's forcing the football more so than he really needs to. And so I think the biggest thing for him is he's pressing for whatever reason. I'm not sure if it's, you know, now because he's surrounded by so much and he's got everything with the exception of the offensive line, as you pointed out. Some of it's been due to pressure, but he's typically handled pressure pretty well. So it could be an overreaction to a couple of just, you know, tough early games, an offseason that really wasn't. And with some new pieces that they're still trying to get back, you know, and develop chemistry with for this year. But, you know, as far as his play goes, it definitely feels like he's pressing like they're in the final quarter of the season trying to make a playoff run, and we're only 2 weeks into it. So if he needs to operate within the system, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, one of the really young, exciting players out in Arizona is Kyler Murray, whether it's his rushing with his legs and getting it done with his legs, or his acumen now that he has DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray, you see him potentially, I know BT said this last season for us, actually, that Kyler Murray could be in this MVP conversation at some point. I mean, not this year, but at some point. The kid can play, and you wouldn't have guessed it when he came out of college, but he can play.
No, in my opinion, he's in the MVP conversation right now. I mean, you look at the other quarterbacks right now, Russell Wilson, obviously you're going to throw in Aaron Rodgers the way he's played so far this year. I think Josh Allen's done a tremendous job, and you can see his growth. But Kyler Murray's right there too. And the interesting thing about his running ability is, you know, it's not on necessarily quarterback design running plays. You know, it's really like second half of games or just in the drop-back passing game when nothing's there and he sees a seam. He takes off, and he is lightning quick, and he's got the ability to change direction at a drop of a hat. So, I think the tough thing about the Cardinals now and really how Murray's used this to his advantage is because they have Hopkins, you have to decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
You'll get in a 3-by-1 formation, and you have to decide, are you going to double Hopkins or not? Because if you're not, they're going to throw to him every single time until you do. And then if you do double him, now they've got probably a box count to run the football either with Drake or Edmonds or have Murray potentially keep it. Or they've got a matchup on the other side with Christian Kirk or Larry Fitzgerald. So you kind of got to pick your poison, and then they run at this really fast tempo, and they throw all these screens, and so they tire out the rush. And by the second half, these defenses are gassed, and they just cannot find a way of containing Murray and being able to chase him down.
Yeah, this is a college mentality. I never thought it would work in the NFL, Brady, but it is.
Yeah. It 100% is. Like, you would hear this all the time in college ball where, you know, you'd hear a coach say to you, like, well, I don't care what time of possession it is. How many plays did they have to face? They always cared about the number of plays they ran because they wanted to force the defense. They wanted to dictate to the defense how many plays they had to defend. And so that mattered more to them than anything else. And I think in the NFL game, everyone would say, well, didn't Chip Kelly try that? It didn't work out. Well, I don't know. Maybe we gave up on Chip Kelly too quick. Didn't he win 10 games his first two seasons?
He did.
Maybe actually he was onto something there, and we weren't patient enough, or maybe how he handled the media or people in Philly in the front office debacle between him and Howie Roseman. Maybe it was more about that, but I definitely think they're onto something in Arizona. Their defense, by the way, is stellar. They've got a lot of different looks and things they do, and it's a young group too. And so that's another reason why they've been so successful so far.
So it's on to Brady Quinn, of course, CBS Sports HQ analyst, played in the league a long time, Notre Dame first-round pick with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Listen, Josh Allen, he looks like he's, and we mentioned him before, but he's refined his trade over the summer. He's making those nice incremental, you know, those steps from a year-to-year basis. If I asked you, Brady, I said, is there an executive around the league, I want to incorporate two players here, that would take Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen moving forward today? Do you think there's any love for Baker, or is it all Josh Allen at this point?
No. I mean, I'll go a step further. I think after watching the Thursday night football game, considering Joe Burrow played two games and Baker Mayfield's been in the NFL 3 years, I think you'd find every single NFL exec would say, yeah, I'll go ahead and take Burrow, even right now. And so it's a little bit of an indictment on the lack of growth from Baker, but it's also, I don't want to throw it all on him. I mean, aren't they on their third head coach since he's been there? They're in another new offensive
technically
system.
Technically
fourth. And they're in another new offensive system without an offseason really to work on it. They've got, you know, issues on their offensive line, in my opinion. I think they were pretty bad last year. So far this year, they look a little bit better, but I still think they need to run the football more with Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But, I think when you're looking at what Josh Allen has done and his growth curve and path, and finally they've given him a number one wide receiver, now you see what he's capable of. Like, yeah, he's refined his footwork, and I think that's helped him become a little more accurate, but honestly, this wide receiver group was second in the league in drops last year. It's that, like, people like act like, you know, completion percentage is a you know, determination of accuracy. It's really not when you have that many guys dropping passes. Now with Stephon Diggs, he's got a more legitimate number one. John Brown's really emerged too. You've got Beasley, you've got Knox, you got the rookie too that they throw in there. And then you've got him running the football, which when I called a game last year with him, he kind of told me, he said, look, I get into a better flow of the game when I'm a part of the rushing attack and I actually get hit or deliver a hit. So he likes doing that. So yeah. Bottom line is, I think the growth with Brian Daboll, their OC, and all the other pieces within this offense, now adding in Diggs, it's one of the reasons why he's leading the league in passing yards right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The Thursday night game tonight will feature Gardner Minshew versus the Beard and Ryan Fitzpatrick. But Tua is still waiting in the wings there. When do you think we see Tua? After you answer the Tua question, tell me your thoughts on Gardner. Can he be their guy?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll start off with the Tua question. I think there's a couple things working against them. I mean, there's always going to be the thought in the back of everyone in the front office and Brian Flores' head about his hip and whether or not he is ready to take a hit, right? We haven't seen him in a live game action, and that's the biggest concern, I think, given the past 12 months, all what he's gone through. So that's the first concern. The next thing is, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick played in Chan Gailey's system, their offensive coordinator. He's going to be light years ahead of Tua Tagovailoa and the ability to get them in the best possible play, which, you know, you might say, well, why is that so significant? Well, if you're a roster devoid of some talent, or you have hard time actually making plays or getting production, then you need someone out there who then, if it's a bad play call, he can adjust, because you don't have the playmakers on the outside to be able to overcome that when you've got a bad call versus a tough defense. And so Ryan Fitzpatrick probably fits that too. So until Tua either can reassure them from a health standpoint in whatever capacity, or has a better, you know, a stronger understanding of the offense, or Ryan Fitzpatrick just plays, you know, flat out awful, I think it's going to be Fitzpatrick for a little while, at least a few more weeks. Maybe we revisit it. As far as Minshew goes, I honestly thought he would struggle given what's around him. And I don't know if DJ Chark will play or not tonight, but Laviska Shenault, the way Jay Gruden's using him, both as a receiver and running the football, James Robinson's emerged. This offensive line, I think if they stay healthy, they've actually done pretty well too. He's playing, you know, out of his mind right now. And he's playing like a guy that they should give a chance to, depending on how things work out this year, because if he keeps playing like this, like, I don't know that if they're going to be able to move up to get a Trevor Lawrence or maybe a Justin Fields in next year's draft. I think they might not even be in the top 10 if they keep looking the way they do right now.
Mm-hmm. Listen, this was really informative. Great job, Brady. We hit so many of the names people wanted to hear about. Great stuff. Appreciate you hopping on, buddy. We got to roll, but that was really good. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.